man. We appreciate the. Right. Amen. Yes, sir, Pastor. We appreciate the pastor. Appreciate the church. Amen. And I got my family with me this time coming through. My wife back there, Tina, and my oldest son, Logan, and my youngest son, Landon. And, of course, y'all know our daughter's up and married off now. Got two grandbabies. Amen. And I'm probably one of the youngest grandpas you know. Amen. But I tell folks when you get married in middle school, but no. wasn't that bad. Amen. But I'm glad the Lord found us and changed our life. Amen. But John chapter 7, we'll look here in just a moment. And I do appreciate the church, y'all. Just a great blessing to us in the work of the Lord. And I've already enjoyed the service. Amen. Just sitting back there and trying to hide out with my wife back there. It wouldn't bother me if the pastor would have preached this morning. I know I've been through here on a couple occasions and didn't preach. And I didn't leave mad. I left rejoicing. Amen. And just to get to worship the Lord and His goodness. I think it was Spurgeon. He made a statement. One time I was reading, and he said, if I preach and I leave, and they say, wow, what a preacher, he said, I failed. He said, but if I preach and leave, and they say, wow, what a Savior, he said, I did right, amen. And this thing ain't about us, amen. The place to worship this morning, it's all about Him. That music playing, man, it's just beautiful. I wish I had a CD, brother. Where'd he took off? But that was just beautiful. Sometimes I like going down the road listening to symphony music. It might, you know, be crazy, some of you. You know, sometimes I like bluegrass. I like it. I like all kind of stuff, amen. I'm just glad I'm saved, ain't you? We ain't here at a funeral this morning, amen. Our Savior, He ain't in a tomb. He's alive. Amen. We can get excited. Amen. We got eternal life, but we are with the Rock of Ages. And most of you know us out of the Concord Baptist Church, Pastor Sammy Allen. Maybe some of you are new here coming. We haven't been by and got to meet you, but the church has been supporting us a number of years. And I can't figure it out if they love us or don't, because they're supporting us to keep us in prison. Amen. And I got saved back in March of 1995, and I thought I got right with the Lord, but I've been in prison ever since. But I know y'all go there, some of you men, Brother Murphy and others, and I tell you, it's one of the greatest mission fields, I believe, here within the United States, and just a great opportunity to share the gospel. Last week, we was at the home office of Rock of Ages, there for a week of training with some new missionaries. It's a blessing. We got actually three new missionaries that are coming in. One's a family that was accepted last week that's going to go to the country of Hungary. He's already doing some work there in the prisons. He's going to try to work in the schools, the prisons, and a great work there. So just pray for that family. He's actually from the country over there, so that's going to be a great blessing too. Though he's pastored, I think, 19 years and labored in Canada and different places. But a great family. They may get through here in their journey. Had another family that came. I know Brother Murphy was dealing with a lot of things in our nation. You know, especially our school system and the young people that you deal with nowadays, very hardened to the gospel. We had another family that was accepted, though. They'll be going into the public schools, mainly trying to look to get into Georgia and some other areas. You know, right now, though, I know there's a lot of gloom and doom in our nation, but Georgia, Arkansas, and Kentucky are wide open and wanting Bible classes to be taught in the schools. Matter of fact, we got one of our missionaries right now in West Virginia. He's got an open door of 20 schools right now. He's already been in a number of those schools. They're going in and mainly setting up and laying out Rock of Ages literature and Bibles during lunchtime in the cafeteria, going around witnessing to the students and starting Bible clubs. Amen. Can't never could, but you could if you would. If we're willing. If we're willing to sacrifice, lay with God, labor with God. Don't listen to the devil said this door shut. God can open any door, shut any door. Amen. As long as we're still here, we're the church, we're the salt, we're the light. But we've laid down on God. Amen. But we need to look up and realize that God's still alive. If we'll get a hold of the horns of the altar, as He's already hitting on it in Sunday school. Amen. We can't get comfortable. We got to labor. I know I got that book I give out in prison. Some of the guys, one of them study books, it says work on there. there. I'll say, come here a minute. I said, I got this book I want to give you. I said, it's got a four-letter word on there it's a bad word to most folks. You might not want to say it. It says work, okay, man? And some of them laugh, and some of them guys will say, hey, if I would have done that, I wouldn't have been here, amen. But we appreciate the Lord and what he's doing. Now, y'all know our prayer letter. We're still laboring here in the panhandle. We've changed over the years. We one time had prison South Florida, the panhandle, and then in region 1 and 2. Right now, we got 10 prisons that were over here in the panhandle. I know Brother Kelly, as Pastor mentioned, pray for him. He still has 5 of those, but his health, as you already know, he's really been bad on. I wish I had more news to give you. The last I heard that he was in the hospital there in Pensacola, and he had some gangrene in one of his feet. But then we was up in February in the Montgomery meeting there outside of Montgomery and Wewatumpka, doing a great campaign of all the prisons. And Brother Kelly was able to come a few days on that meeting, and his health was bad there. So I know y'all love Brother Kelly, support him, and we appreciate you standing behind the man of God during this time. Amen. I was at a church one time, and a missionary had been on the field for 25 years, and folks were talking about dropping him. And what blessed me, the preacher got up and just raised his support. Amen. Here's a man that up in age, but he's given his life to the field. He don't have nothing to come back to. And I appreciate them standing behind that man of God. And also, last week we had the other missionary was actually a lady. I don't know if y'all might support Frank Caceres out of my home church. I've been a missionary church planter with the Spanish here in the United States for a number of years. But Brother Caceres, in his young 60s, the Lord called him home to be with the Lord, to be with him a few months ago. But Miss Caceres has been working at the Rock of Ages home office for the last, year or better, maybe 2 years, translating our material into Spanish. So she's been a great tool there working in the home office, but she's now doing missionary work out of my home church, sent out under my pastor and Brother Allen, Brother Randy Sutherland, and she'll still be working the Rock of Ages translating that material, amen. And of course, y'all know that going to prison, what a great need, the Spanish there in the prison. So just pray for that. And also, not just the 10 in Florida. You say, well, maybe you've cut back to 10. No, I got 6 up in Missouri, prisons up there. Matter of fact, week before last, when we was at the home office last week, but prior to that, we did 3 prisons right down here in the panhandle. We was at the reception center main unit. We was at ACI West unit. And then Jackson CI, we had 3 saved during the 3 meetings. Amen. Had some opposition. I know in Sunday school they was talking about the rallies and stuff against the guns and all that. But in the prison, it ought to show the gun ain't the problem. Back in February, we was at Gulf CI during the day. We had 120 some guys that come out to that morning service at 9 o'clock. Well, in 9:30 we started about 10, but we had a morning service there, and we got set up about 9:30, and they come in about 10, and we had a couple hours to have a meeting there. But there was a guy stabbed back in the dorm, and some of y'all that work in the prison know that they don't have to have a gun to hurt somebody. But there was a young man that was stabbed back there in one of the dorms while we was having the preaching service. And I thought, wow, if he would have come out that morning to hear the gospel, amen. But he chose for whatever reason, and of course, maybe nobody even got the word to him about the meeting. But the word of God's going to go forth, amen. And in our nation, it ain't a gun problem. It's a rebellion problem toward God's word, amen. So we need to keep standing, preaching God's word. But pray as we labor up in Missouri. Actually, this week I'm heading to Okaloosa, Seattle. My family with me. We'll be doing the prison there in Okaloosa, and then heading back Friday, and then next weekend I'll be heading up to Missouri. We'll be in a prison right below St. Louis. It's a reception center. I've got 2 of the reception centers now in the state of Missouri. The one in below St. Louis has 3,000 inmates. I know I'm talking about prison too long, but if you'll listen, I'll preach fast here in a moment. Amen. And most Christians are more concerned about the pot roast than the Holy Ghost anyways. Amen. But there'll still be some pot roast around. But That reception center there below St. Louis is about 3,000 men. Last time we was there, we had a four-day meeting. We had 29 hours of visitation, and we've scheduled 8 preaching services. One of them got canceled due to a fight, but we still had 7 preaching services. And we had 90-some respond saying they got saved by the grace of God. Amen. Over the years, I've had people say, well, how many of them you really think got saved? I said, to as many as received him. To them gave he power to become the sons of God. Amen. They might have been 5 out of the 90 that really got. They might have been really 200 that got saved. Amen. Some of them didn't even announce what God did in their heart. But I let the Lord figure all that out. And then people say, well, how many did you really lead to the Lord while you was there? I said, I let everybody I talked to. Amen. I point them all to him. Amen. But I can't make them come to him. I can't make them believe, but I can tell them where to go. Amen. Right. But ain't it good to be saved? But pray for me and my family as we go. We're trying to work there in Missouri. We're praying. We had a man that worked the state, but he's no longer with us. So I've always kept up my training in a lot of different states because I still try to help Tennessee, Alabama, and places. So we're praying for God to raise up a labor in Missouri. And I don't know. I'm praying. I don't know if the Lord's going to move me to be that labor. I don't know. But we'd appreciate the goodness of the Lord. Amen. And we need laborers at the Rock of Ages. So just pray that God will raise up. There's so many open doors. But, you know, you can't do everything. Just like it always, I was at a church last Sunday in Alabama with my family. And then the service, a lady come up. She stayed behind when everybody went outside. And she was crying. She wanted to talk to me and my wife. And, of course, I never want to talk to the pastor's people without him. So I went and got the pastor. But she was crying. She said, I was always against people like you going to prison. She said, I always said, well, them people deserve what they get. She said, I had no burden for nobody in prison. But she is crying, and now her sister is sitting in a prison in Alabama with 8 years. She was facing 30 years drug charges. Got hooked on drugs and began selling them. And she said, we grew up in a preacher's home. This lady, she was a twin, just so it touched her heart, our daughters being twins. But here she grew up in a preacher's home and always against them prison ministries and them people in prison. But now it kind of meets home, amen. But we sent her, just mailed her a Bible and some study material, but praying God to use this time to work in her heart. Matter of fact, God used it. That lady, she lives right down the road from that church, and that pastor says first time she'd been in church in a long time. But she said she's going to start coming back, amen. So God's got a way of getting folks' attention, does he not? Amen. And he'll get your attention. But we appreciate y'all's church, and I know we could talk, and y'all could tell us, tell me more stories about prison. A lot of y'all labor faithful throughout the weeks. And has anybody got maybe a question about Rock of Ages right now before we get into the Word of God? Maybe something a lot of times I get to talking, and folks, somebody asked me last week, they said, well, I don't even know what a reception center is. And I told them that's where all the people in the counties of that region of that state, they're coming into the prison for the first time. And some of them repeat offenders, but they're evaluating their health needs, their gang affiliations and stuff like that. And then they'll decide what prison they're going to do their time in. So that's what a reception center is. But maybe you had a question, something like that about prison or the Rock of Ages. The school ministry, the chapel, anything. But y'all just want to go get to the pot roast, don't you? Amen. Man, Brother Ike said, praise God. Amen. Hey, y'all here, turn to John chapter 7. We won't read all 53 verses, but we're going to look in verse 37 through 39. And 37 through 39, of course, a great chapter. And I know Brother Murphy, he was hitting on a lot of prophecy. I could tell he's a very learned man in prophecy, just his teaching this morning. So he may be able to help me with some of this afterwards. I'm probably about a third of the way studying some of that prophecy. I've not yet arrived, amen. Matter of fact, I'm not even a third way as far as learning in this scripture. Though I've read through the Bible and through the Bible, I've not yet obtained, amen. There's so much to learn from God's word, and so many things we don't know. And I know one thing though, those telemarketers that call my house get on my nerves, amen. That's one thing I do. Can I get an amen right there? And I like witnessing to them. I hate to tell you, they'll call and I say, well, how's your mom and them? Nelson, what did you say, sir? What did you say? I said, well, how's your mom and them? Do you know the Lord? And, amen. Matter of fact, you heard about that telemarketer. He called the house, and the little boy answered, and he said, hello. And the little boy said, howdy. And he said, is your mama home? He said, you mean my mother? He said, no, is your mama home? your mother. You know, mama, your mother. He said, my mother ain't here. He said, son, I said, your mother. He said, well, I told you my mother ain't here. He said, well, son, is your father home? He said, you mean my fudder? He said, no. He said, I said, is your father home? He said, you mean my fudder? My fudder ain't home. He said, son, do you need help with your grammar? He said, I don't know. She no here either. Amen. But we all need help, don't we? Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. John chapter 7. I'm so glad I'm saved. I wish the Lord just come right now. Amen. I hope you're ready because He's coming. It'll be like that one day. Amen. I tell them in the prison, one day they're going to send out them bloodhounds. They'll be sniffing everywhere. Say, where'd they go? And they'll just go, oh, amen. Praise God. I'm looking forward. But John chapter 7, verse 37, in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. Notice back in verse 37, where we got a spring title of a thought this morning. Verse 37 there, near the middle part, Jesus said, if any man thirst, if any man thirst. I was amazed if I know you had other Sunday schools, some of you were in this morning, but Brother Murphy's just blessed me how he got there in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, and you know the very familiar scripture, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then we'll hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. Amen. Of course, I think I missed seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Amen. But that seeking, that hunger, that thirst for God. A few years back, I know some of you maybe know Brother Milton Taylor, great man of God. I know Brother Ike does, and out of South Carolina, just a tremendous man of prayer, man of God. But Brother Taylor, I was in a meeting, I think they're at the camp or somewhere, I was listening, and he got to talking as he goes out in his travels preaching meetings. What burdens his heart is you don't see the hunger and thirst for God like you did back in maybe the 50s and the 60s, even, you know, getting into the 70s. I guess I know my pastor used to have great meetings and y'all seen touches of God, but it seems like we're getting further and further away. Amen. But I'm glad not everybody's gone away from God. That's why you're here this morning, I trust, because you got a hunger, you got a thirst for God. Amen. Of course, I know a good sized crowd this morning could be somebody. Maybe you say, well, I just come and I'm waiting for the 12 o'clock hour and I'm ready to go. Amen. I was at a church in Alabama and preached that time, and a pastor, I said, well, what time you want me to finish, pastor? He said, oh, you don't worry about time, son, just preach. But I noticed it got 12 o'clock, and then about 12:05 somebody left, 12:15, so I was done about 12:30, but we done had a 13 of them done checked out. Amen. So I went to the pastor, I said, well, pastor, I said, I don't know, did they have places to go? They had to go to work or whatever? And he said, no. He said, I've got them spoiled. He said, we leave right at 12 o'clock to get to the restaurant. I said, well, I'm sorry, I would have quit at 12 o'clock. He said, don't you worry about it. Amen. But I noticed the next time I went back there, I said, well, pastor, how long you want me to take? He said, well, just take it up about 5 to 12. It'll be done about 12. Amen. Praise God. But you know what? I thought, and I realize everybody's different place you go, but if we could just forget about time, and I know, don't get nervous. I ain't going to have you out of here at 12, at maybe 1 or 2 o'clock. Amen. We'll go by Mountain Standard Time, so we're early. Amen. I'm talking about out in Wyoming, though. Amen. I was leaving. That crowd's probably rougher out there. We was leaving a room this morning, and a guy, he had a Washington, State of Washington tag, and I was sitting there looking out the window, and the Holy Ghost said, go witness to him. And I'm just like you. I said, no, I ain't going to do it, Lord. I'm sitting here reading my Bible. Lord, let somebody go witness that guy. You ever done that? Amen. And the Lord said, you're the one I told, go witness to him. And so I got me some tracks. I said, all right, Lord. And so I stand there, and I was waiting, looking out the window. The Lord said, go out the door now. So I went out the door, and about that time, he's coming up the stairs. I said, sir, give you something good to read. And he said, nope. And I said, well, I hope to see you in heaven. I said, all right. I walked on by him, and the Lord said, okay, I want you to try again. I said, but Lord, that guy, I can tell now, he's already mad. He don't want nothing to do. So I come back up the stairs. He's come back down. I said, sir, hope to see you in heaven. He just give me a mean look. Amen. I tell you, you get further out some places, they don't have that southern hospitality. But then here in the south, everybody you talk to, oh, thank you, I'm saved. Well, where do you go to church? I don't know. I went there last Easter, amen. Most people, they know, all they know about church is when their hats matched and dispatched, amen. They get excited about the Easter Bunny and Santa Claus and everything else, but they don't get excited and thirsty for the Word of God, amen. I'm just telling you, I'm excited and thirsty about the things of God. Brother Murphy, getting on prophecy, man, my ear, I it gets me excited. I want to learn. I want to get something new that I don't understand, because I want to grow in the Word of God, amen. Thirsty for the Word of God. Matter of fact, when I first got saved, y'all heard me testify. I got saved March of 95. I was 20 years old, and you know, of course, I cut my hair then, but I know back time before I got saved, you know, I had a mohawk one time long hair. I mean, I thought I was a pretty thing, my old long ponytail, amen. We live in a day and hour, we see a lot of guys. This one guy, I was at prison preaching one day. I said, the Bible says it's a shame for a man to have long hair. I said, didn't say it's a sin, but it says it's a shame. I said, you don't want to stand before the Lord ashamed, do you? And a guy come up to me at the end of service. He said, I want to let you know, as soon as I get out of prison, I'm growing my long hair back. I said, well, have at it, buddy. He said, well, what do you think about it? I said, well, you're going to walk around ashamed? I said, the Bible says it's a shame. He said, well, that don't mean I ain't right with God. I said, well, tell it to the Lord and smile about it. Amen. It's amazing how people, you know, they want to do their sin, but they get mad because you won't give them an okay to enjoy it. Amen. I was a preacher in one prison. A guy come to the end of service. He said, hey, why don't you Rock of Ages crowd, why don't y'all teach and give out scriptures how you got to be baptized to be saved? I said, because that ain't what the Bible teaches. He said, why didn't you get up and preach? I said, the Holy Ghost didn't tell me. He said, well, I believe it, and I got all these verses. I said, are you happy with what you believe? He said, yes, I am. I said, I can't tell, but go ahead and enjoy the day, because I'm happy in Jesus. I ain't got time to fuss with you. Amen. Praise God. They want to fuss, go over and talk to the wall, because I ain't budging. That wall ain't budging, I ain't budging. Amen. Hey, but I'm saying there's a lot of things we ought to get thirsty. We ought to get excited about the truth of the Word of God. Me and my wife, I got saved, you know, back then. Lord saved me out of that old life. And I'd come home and I'd get in the Word of God. I was so excited. And y'all probably heard me say it before. I didn't even know how we got the rainbow. I never forget, me and my wife started reading the Bible. I got saved, she got saved. And here I was 20 years old, and our home had been falling apart, but God put us on a foundation, and our marriage started turning around. And hey, thank God this year, 24 years. Amen. Hey, because God put us on a foundation. Amen. I learned this, that brother, he's not in this church anymore. Brother Wilmer, the dark hair, I can't, Wilbur, or, I can't, huh? Yeah, but he took me and my wife out to eat one day, and I said, brother, what's the secret to be married 50-some years? He said, yes, ma'am. Hey, he's the one that taught me that. I've been a practicing, amen. Sometimes I still, you know, I'll be home about a week, and she'll say, it's time for you to go back to prison, amen. Somebody said, what keeps you married? I said, I stay in prison, amen. Praise God. But as I get to look, I got saved, and I would come home from work, and I'd go in my bedroom and just read the Bible while she's getting supper. And I read how we got the rainbow. I was so excited. I never forget, I come running out of the room and I said, Tina, I said, I found out how we got the rainbow. She said, I already know. I said, no, you don't. You know. And she said, yeah, God made a promise that we know he'd never flood the earth. I said, well, I just found out, amen. Hey, don't that burn your brakes up when they're always a step ahead of you, amen. Huh? So you don't ask them what they know anymore, amen. But I just found out how we got there. I was so excited. Hey, you know what? We ought to keep that same excitement about the Word of God. But you know what happens? We'll be saved 10, 20 years and we'll say, well, I already know all that. I remember I was at my home church one Sunday morning. My pastor got up. I was sitting in the back with my wife, you know, and he got up to preach a message on hell. And I hate to confess this, amen. I'm just too transparent sometimes. But I sat back here and I thought, Lord, I have heard that message I don't know how many times. You know what the Holy Ghost said? Said, shut up and pray, because there's somebody here that hasn't heard it. And that morning we had somebody get saved, amen. But that's how we say, oh, I done heard about hell, I've heard about heaven, I've heard about the cross. But you know, you ought to get excited about everything. every bit of it over and over and over because the old story ain't never changed. Hey, God ain't lost a bit of His power when it comes to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Hey, he said, for I delivered unto you first of all that which also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that He was buried and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. We ought to stay excited about the gospel message. Amen. But hear that, this ain't even in the message. Now see, if any man thirst, if we could just, and I ain't going to stand up here and be a hypocrite today. I try my best by the grace of God. I want to be real, amen, and preach it in my walk with the Lord. And I ain't going to stand here and say that I always have the thirst that I ought to have, amen. But I strive to stay where I need to be. This morning I had to get myself in there and talk to the Lord, amen. Early in the morning when I woke up, I talked to the Lord. And this morning I had to get my Bible out and begin reading. There's a lot of times I ain't going to say I wake up every day. I'd say probably 90% of the time, you know, I wake up and I don't want to just dive right into the Bible. I want to dive right to the bathroom, amen. Then run to the coffee pot. I kind of get going. Now, I know some of y'all might just say, well, I just pray for an hour before I go to that coffee. You're a better Christian than me, amen. I get some coffee and kind of get going. But you know what? Then there ain't nothing like getting alone with that Word of God, amen. Just digging in those Scriptures and searching the Word of God. And so I've got to guard against that. I want to stay hungry for God. I want to draw closer to God. Ain't that what you want this morning? He said, draw nigh to God and He'll draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. He said that to a group of saved folk. A lot of times, though, we get double-minded. And I realize everybody here, you got work, and some of you get up maybe 2, 4 o'clock in the morning. You got long days and long hours, and man, you're putting up maybe a guy on your job that's cussing and fussing and getting on, and you just want to wrap your arms around his neck and give him a blessing, amen? And things come your way, and frustration's alive. But we got to somewhere along the way every day get along with God, amen? Draw nigh to God and get hungry and thirst. If any man thirst. Now, as we know here, as we look in this, Brother Murphy was talking. I hate to keep referring back, amen. But some of the feast and of the Jews. This here in this text in John chapter 7, this is what they call the Feast of Tabernacles or Sukkot or the Feast of Booths. Matter of fact, this year it's going to be somewhere around the end of September, the fall of the year. Kind of like in our culture, we would celebrate maybe a fall festival. You know, I don't know, maybe y'all have a fall festival, a time here at the church, you know, do things with the young people. And I know my home church, we've started a fall festival that we're having as an outreach on a Saturday. I've been doing it a couple years now. I hadn't got to go to it yet. This year I'm going to try to, you know, make sure I'm out of prison to try to go this year. But it's just a fun time with the young people. And of course, you know, the fall of the year, maybe some of you go somewhere and get apples or whatever, and pumpkins and all those things, you know, and the leaves are falling. And though they have it in the fall of the year, it wouldn't be along the lines that we would look at a fall celebration. They were looking at this as a reminder of when God had blessed them and God had provided for them in the wilderness journey, that God had brought them out of Egypt and God had sheltered them and God had secured them and God had sustained them and God was their refuge all along the way. And so during that time of the year, as they would have this feast, it would last for some 7 days, and the 8th day would be the last day where they're packing up and going back to their homes. But for 7 days they're having this Feast of Tabernacles, and they would. Matter of fact, there's people that to this day that'll gather and go to Israel just to experience it there in the Holy Land. Some people they'll do it here in the States, around the world. But they'll build a tent. Well, this is nothing new for you Bible students, but they'll build a tent and they'll put those myrtle branches and palm tree branches or whatever over the top of those tent that they would build out of sticks, you know. Maybe similar area to where the piano's sitting this morning. Maybe some a little smaller, a little larger, but not a very big at all. And those branches, so the water could actually still come in from the rain. And matter of fact, when they would have this feast, they have it during the rainy season. You go back and you'll find out a lot of the other nations, they thought those Jews are crazy. Why are you going to have this feast during the rainy season? It was another sign of showing their faith in their God. Amen. We're not worried about the season. We're just worried about the sovereign. Amen. See, a lot of people, if the season's right, we'll worship God. Amen. No, we ought to worship God no matter what. Hey, it's always in season to worship. Amen. But anyways, that's another message. But they would build that, and then they'd have fruit in there and things. So picture this. It's an exciting time of year. And all these Jews are gathering in. Matter of fact, you go back in the beginning of the chapter, and Jesus would not yet go into Jewry. Jewry meaning Judea. He wouldn't even go up there. Why? He knew there were some people that wanted to kill him. I don't know about you. That's pretty wise, amen. I don't know if I did get a real word from the chaplain and called me and said, hey, there's a guy here in the prison waiting to kill you when you get here. I might cancel that meeting this week. I don't know. I'll pray over it, amen. let us know who he is or something, amen. But anyway, so Jesus told his earthly brothers and all of his disciples had already went on up into the temple area. And here's all these Jews that are gathering from all. Matter of fact, they were all commanded to come into the region. I mean, you picture all these Jewish believers are coming in. I'm not saying believers in Christ, but all these that are coming in for the Feast of Tabernacles are gathered in the Jewry or Judea. They're gathering in there. And Jesus, he had hid back. Now you'll find as you go back in the chapter, you'll find that he actually came, and then it says in verse 14, now about the midst of the feast. So this is a 7-day feast, a festival time of celebrating that's going on. And now in the midst of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and he taught. So Jesus, he's going up the temple and he's teaching. You say, what did he teach? It says in verse 16, Jesus answered them and said, my doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. He was teaching the things that the Father wanted him to teach. Amen. You know what we're seeing in our day now? We see people that are not teaching doctrine. You would say, what do you mean by doctrine? The things that God wants taught from his word. Amen. If it's not from the word of God, then it's not going to be sound doctrine. Sound doctrine or sound teaching comes from the word of God in this old King James Bible. Amen. But he's up there teaching the things that the Father told him to say and to speak. And of course, you go and read how many of them were mad and they wanted to take him. But the Bible said in verse 30, then they sought to take him, but no man laid hands on him because his hour was not yet come. Boy, they wanted to get rid of Jesus long before he went to the cross. Amen. But they would not be able to do anything to hinder God's plan, though God would use them in his plan. But as we see, so picture this celebrating time, and Jesus in the midst of that 7 days had taught in the temple, and some were upset, but yet others, God was using that time of teaching to produce faith in their heart. As you'll go back later this evening and read verses 40 on down, you'll see that many of them, it was used to produce faith in their hearts unto who the Lord was. Yet many of them were confused still. Who is this? Is this Elias? Is this a prophet? Who is this? But Jesus, here he is now. And picture when they're celebrating, and they would gather around that temple courtyard, and they would take, and all those Jews would hold like myrtle branches and willow leaf branches in the right hand. And then they would hold some fruit in this hand in those morning times, and they would all be shaking those branches and holding that fruit, amen? And they're singing songs, they're excited. I mean, it's an exciting time. The children love this time, amen? But as we think about that, I just want to give you that foundation to think upon. The setting, what's going on. The Feast of Tabernacles, exciting time of the year. But if any man thirst, Jesus said. I looked up that word thirst. You know what the word thirst means? It means desire. What got Eve in trouble in the garden? Her desire got her in trouble. What gets you and I in trouble when we have the wrong desire? Amen. There's some things in our life that I believe are forbidden. Amen. Some things we ought not to even think about desiring. But yet there's many things in our life that yet we ought to desire with all of our heart. I thought about it, Jesus, when he said, if any man thirst, if any man desire, you think about the psalmist, he talks about as the heart panteth after the water brook, soul panteth my soul after thee, O God. That little deer that running through the woods and maybe running from another predator and on its journey, it's weary. And it gets to that little brook and it's just thirsty for a drop of water. And it stops to get refreshing. You know, that's the way we go through this life, and it seems like the enemy's on our trail, the predator, if you would, the adversary, the devil, the old accuser, the brethren. And it seems like many times we're running through life and we're dry and we're weary, but we can come to that brook and get a drink, amen. We can come to the Lord and get refreshing. As I think about this morning, here they are. They're gathering from all their daily life of work and labor. They had put things upon the animals to carry it in, to have this time of celebration. Why? Because it's an exciting time where we can just take our minds off everything and we can look for a hope of one day that our Messiah is going to come. And I can picture all these days of celebrating and all these days of sacrifice, and they're hoping that one day Messiah is going to come and everything's going to be good on the land. Everything's going to be prosperous again. Everything's going to be enriched and blessed with His presence. So picture that's what's going on, and desire to thirst. I won't preach it all, but I wrote down some points I thought about in the Christian life. I thought about, if anything this morning, we need to be conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Of course, there's a lot of, you can preach for hours or weeks right there, can't you? Amen. We're in a sad day. I was heard a couple weeks ago. I don't watch a lot of news and things. I just pick up things along the way. But talking about in California, when you're born, they can put on your birth certificate that unknown. If y'all heard about that one there? I thought that's about the dumbest thing, you know. The cheese done slid off their cracker out in California, amen. Now I'm talking, you can go get you a mirror at the Dollar Tree and know what you are, amen. Praise God. I'm just saying, there are some things that ain't confusing, amen. People are so confused because they're getting away from the Scriptures, amen. They're trying to figure out the way without knowing the way, amen. But as I look, we need to be conformed to His image. Amen. I remember one time my daddy told me a crazy... My daddy, he grew up wild and into everything. But he said, me and my buddies, we took off in a car. We was going to find us a girlfriend that night. He said, and this car went flying by and that blonde hair was a flying out the window. He said, so we followed that car to chase down that pretty blonde-headed girl. He said, we got to the red light and looked over, and when she turned around, it wasn't a she. He had a big old beard. Amen. Hey, my dad said, but he had some pretty long blonde hair. Amen. Huh? No, we need to be conformed to His image. Amen. I'm looking around this morning and I don't see anybody in here that I'm thinking, is that a boy? Is that a girl? I think that's a boy. That's a girl. I don't see no confusion in the house of God. Amen. Praise God. So, but I'm telling you, some places you go nowadays, you got to take a triple look. Amen. But I better move on. Amen. But I'm saying we need to be conformed to His image. My boys all look like boys. My girls always look like girls. Matter of fact, one time, and I won't fuss at none of you, my daughters, they're out of the home now, but one of my daughters, she was working at a dress barn, and one of the ladies kept giving her a hard time because my daughter, she still liked just to wear skirts and dresses everywhere she went. And one of the ladies at work come to her and said, well, why don't you wear something besides skirt and dresses? She said, because I'm a lady. And she said, dress how you want to be addressed. That's what my daughter told her. I thought, man, that's some of the best preaching I've ever heard. Amen. So I'm a preacher. I ought to dress how I want to be addressed. Amen. And I ain't going to say I always walk around with a suit and tie on. Amen. My pastor, about everywhere he goes, I've seen him digging and everything. You know, now yesterday I didn't have a suit and tie. But you know what? You ought to be addressed how you want to be addressed. Amen. I don't think Jesus walked around with a long ponytail. Say, hey, you got another dip over there, Paul? Hey, Peter, you got another dip? I'm about out of a dip over here, Peter. I know I've tried to get away, but we need to be conformed to His image. Amen. Hey, know that we need to be concerned with His will, thirsty for the things of God. I never forget, I was heading to Faith Baptist Camp years ago, and I got behind that big old red Cadillac. I was getting ready to pass it. I hate to tell you that. I was running late to the camp meeting. Amen. And then I seen that red Cadillac in front of me heading to Faith Baptist Camp, and I seen this gray hair, and I said, boy, I bet that's one of them preachers heading to camp. I said, I'll just follow him. He's already late too, you know. But I'll never forget, that car pulled in, this big, tall, skinny fella got out, and a gray hair, and I got to looking, and I went in the back of the tabernacle, because he had pulled up on the side. If you ever know, that's a big old place, Brother Ike. No. But I sat in the back, and that preacher, it was a preacher, he got out of that red Cadillac, and he walked up to the pulpit. It was Dr. Lee Robertson. I thought, man, I was behind. I'm glad I didn't fly around him, Lord. Amen. y'all put it down the road too. Don't look at me, buddy. Amen. I remember growing up in Kentucky, my mama, I mean, if it said 55, she was probably doing 85. I said, Mama, you're going to get us killed when we get a ticket. She said, Wally, my stepdad, she said, Wally had to pay the bill, amen. Man, mama, she just, amen. Huh? Some of you mamas do that too. Eh? But I sat in the back, and I'll never forget, Brother Lee Robson got up there, and he only preached about 15 minutes, and he got done, and Brother Allen walked him over, I think, handed him an offering, and he left. Brother Allen got back up. He said, don't you get critical of this man of God leaving after he preached. He said, he's 90-some years old. He needs to get home. Amen. But that man of God got up for only 10 or 15 minutes, and he preached, and he said, young man, do you want to know God's will for your life? And I never forget sitting in the back of that tabernacle. I just sat back there, and in my heart, man, as soon as he said that, my heart swelled up, and I said, God, that is all I want. That is all I want. You know what? God is not hiding His will from you this morning. People say, well, I just want to know and do God's will. If you really mean that with all your heart, He wants you to know and do His will more than you want it. But you'll know the will of God in the Word of God. Amen. God's not hiding from us. Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Hey, he said, no good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly. The Lord shall guide thee continually and satisfy thy soul in drought. If you want to do God's will, God will empower you to do His will. Amen. God will fill you to do His will. God will use you to do His will. As I get to looking, if any man thirst, I know there's so much. But we need to be concerned with His will. But more important, we need to be controlled by His Spirit. Quickly this morning, just hang with me a few more minutes. As I get to thinking this morning here, we need to be controlled by His Spirit. Here's John, he wrote here in verse 39. He said, but this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on Him should receive. Notice the Bible said, John said, the writer, of course the Holy Ghost, he said, should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given because that Jesus was not yet glorified. Now, I wasn't fussing anybody, but we know that to have a church, you got to have a head. Christ in Ephesians said when He ascended back on high, He became the head of the body. You and I are the body, amen? All through the New Testament, we see we're called the building, we're called the bride, we're called the body. All these terminology, we're called the church. I'm just glad we're His this morning, amen? But as His body, we cannot operate without the head. And that's when we're getting in trouble. We try to run our lives. Amen. Matter of fact, I know you're the man of God here. He knows that that Christ is the head, that He's just part of the body Himself. Amen. And the Holy Ghost runs His work and runs His body to do His will. But we know when Jesus ascended, the Holy Ghost came. And I believe there was a church, and I know people say it started here and there. I just know after you get to the end of Acts chapter 2, it talks about the Lord added to the church, so there's a church after Acts 2, amen? Now, personally, I believe it happened on that day, amen, because the Holy Ghost came. But all I know is after that day, God's been adding to the church ever since. Wouldn't it be a blessing if the Lord added to the church this morning, amen? You say, how's that happen? You realize you're a sinner heading to hell. You're willing to repent, turn from your sin, and come and trust Christ, amen? He'll birth you into the family of God, and you'll become part of His body, part of His bride, amen, part of His church, amen? But if any man thirst, we know this is talking about the Spirit of God inside of a man. God indwelling that man. As I get to thinking about thirst, over in Matthew 5:6, it said, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. But notice what it said in Matthew 5:6, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst. Now Jesus said, if any man thirst. That word do implies something on our part. God's willing to fill. God's willing to indwell. God's willing to reign and rule in our life if we're thirsty for God. What does that word thirst mean? Desire God. It's a picture of faith in Him. Are you thirsty for Him this morning? Do you desire Him this morning? If any man thirst, amen, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst. Where's our hunger for Him this morning? Where's our desire? I thought about David Livingstone. He went to the great continent of Africa. Why? Because he had a thirst. He had a hunger for the souls of those in Africa. And he said, God, send me anywhere. Only go with me. Lay any burden on me. Only sustain me.
and sever every tie in my heart except the tie that binds my heart to yours. William Carey, he said, I feel that it is good to commit my soul, my body, and my all into the hands of God. Then the world appears little and the promises great, and God an all-sufficient portion. The great Dr. Harold Seidler in South Carolina, Tabernacle College there in the church and everything, Harold Seidler said this in a book I was reading a few weeks back. He says, you cannot have peace in your soul as you grow older unless you have done the will of God for your life. But if you've done the will of God up in age, you can look back with rejoicing. Amen. My pastor, I'll never forget, Brother Allen, y'all have heard Brother Allen. He told that story when he was a young man going to Rocky Acres Bible Camp, and he went there to hear that preaching that night, but he had plans after the preaching. He had put out his trout lines, I think in the Conasauga River or something, you know, and he had his boat ready, and so after the meeting there at church, he was going fishing, amen? Nothing wrong with fishing, praise God. If I get down here in the prison, have a free day, and you got a boat, I'd love to go, amen. You buy the bait, I'll buy some water and sweet tea. We'll have a time. Amen. Huh? I'm throwing that out if anybody. No. But anyways, he left. He said he went and heard that preaching that night, and the more he preached, God did something in his heart. He said, and y'all have heard it. He said it was like liquid love flowing through me, and he forgot all about that fishing trip that night. And it was days or weeks later he realized he'd forgot his boat, and he went back, couldn't find the boat. And it was months or so later he found his motor in his cousin's shed, never did find the boat. I always wonder, maybe the cousin sold the boat. I don't know what happened, amen. But you know what? He didn't worry about it. Because that night in the meeting, he found a greater love. Souls, the Word of God. Do them thy will, O Lord. I delight to do thy will, O God, amen. I'm just saying, nothing wrong with enjoying life. But more important than the things the world offers us is the will and the work of God, amen. I was coming out of prison back in January. I was actually leaving a coordinator's meeting. Now I remember it there and coming back. And then I went down to Florida, I think, and done a meeting. But I was riding late one night trying to get home. And I hate to tell you, but I was battling something that had come my way in ministry that was getting me to the point where I was about to get bitter. This might help you, amen. I know y'all ain't never battled nothing. Amen. Y'all pray for Mark. But that thing was eating at me, and I was about to let it turn me into getting real bitter. It was battling. And I was coming up the road and that late that night, and I said, Lord, I've had about all I can stand of this thing. It's going to ruin me if I don't get some help. And I was just praying, going up the road. And I got near I got near where I live there on 75 Adairsville, Georgia. There's a place called Barnsley Gardens, if y'all ever heard of it. And it's like a resort place, you know. But anyways, I was topping the hill there near Daresville, the exit to go to my house, and I seen a sign that said Barnsley Gardens. And I was crying, talking to the Lord. I said, just tell him I needed help with this thing. And when I seen that sign, Barnsley Gardens, the Holy Ghost said, son, you just need to come back to the garden. I said, what? He said, Adam messed up in the garden because he got his eyes off of me. He said, son, just look at me. Come back to the car. Man, I got a fresh look at him that night. I said, thank God, amen. That burden was lifted, amen. Oh, no, the devil's tried to bring things back. But you know what? It ain't nothing like that burden was gone, amen. You could be here this morning. Maybe you're saying, well, I want to get closer. I want to be what God wants. But you got maybe that bitterness this morning. Maybe you got that thing eating in your life. You know what? You just got to go back to the garden. Amen. You got to go back to the Lord and say, God, I want a drink. I'm thirsty. I desire you this morning. I want victory in my life. I want the fullness of God in my life. Amen. Are you full of God this morning? Amen. Real quick, I won't preach at all. But I looked at these verses. I see there's a direct call that goes out. Think about it. If any man thirst. Any man, that ain't just the pastor, that ain't the missionary, that ain't just the Sunday school teacher, piano player, singers. Jesus stood in the midst of Judea, all that crowd all around. There's children involved outside not in the temple there, but outside in the area that are running around. There's men that have those willow branches. And picture what happens in the morning. When that priest would leave the temple, he'd take a golden vessel and he'd go down to the pool of Siloam. And he would dip that water. And as he would dip that water, he would walk back and there would be a group of people walking with that priest as he was carrying that water from the pool of Siloam back into the temple. And as they walked with that, they would play flutes, they would be singing. You know what they would say in that concession of people that walked with that priest? As they would sing and they would chant and play, they would quote Isaiah as they walked along with that priest, holding that water. You know what they would say? They would say, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye and buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price." They'd walk along and another one would quote Isaiah over in Isaiah 12:3. "Therefore with joy shall he draw water out of the wells of salvation." There was one of the old Jewish writers I come across. He said this was such an exciting time. He said this was such a happy time that not one Jewish writing, that one Jewish writing said, "He that never has seen the joy of the water drawing has never in his life seen true joy." That's what Jews considered this time. They said, if you've never experienced this, this is going to get a hold of you. He said, you've never really experienced real joy. So he's walking back with that water. He comes in, he circles the altar, and he pours it, I think, on the west side through a tube. It goes to the base of the altar. And you just picture there as he's doing this. And when it, picture, you didn't get that. It flowed through the tube. He pours it, and it flows through the tube. He pours it in, and it flows, in, and it flows, in, and it flows. Hey, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. He comes into you, and he flows out of you. He comes into you. Hey, man. You say, well, that guy used to be the meanest guy in town, but now he's so joyous and happy. Why? Because he came into you, now he's flowing out of you. Amen. That guy was ate up with bitterness, but now he's so happy and joyous. Why? Because he came into you, and now he's flowing out of you. Amen. But that priest would pour that water in. And you picture there within that court, and Brother Murphy can help me with some of this maybe, but in that court, they would be chanting and shaking those willow branches. Why? They were remembering how God provided in the wilderness. But that fruit was a picture. One day Messiah will come and it'll be fruitful again. So, and as they would do that, you know what all that crowd would do is they would shake that myrtle and willow branches. They would say three times all together. They'd say, "Give thanks to the Lord." Let's try it three times. "Give thanks to the Lord. Give thanks to the Lord. Give thanks to the Lord." And you know what after they do after that? They would turn in the Psalms from Psalms 113 to Psalms 118. Don't get nervous. I'm not going to make you do it. Amen. But they would go from Psalms 113 to 118 and they would sing all those Psalms. That's what they are anyways. Singing and making melody in your hearts unto the Lord. Speaking yourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Amen. We've heard spiritual songs here today. Amen. We've heard hymns here today. But you know what? You think about this. They would sing those psalms. They call that the Hallel. They're all excited. And then during those morning sacrifices also, there would be two priests. They would have those morning sacrifices, and one priest would have a basin of water, and another priest would have a basin filled with wine. They would pour that water out on the ground as a reminder how God provided water in the wilderness. How God was their refuge, amen? But then also, the other priest would pour that other thing of wine out on the ground as a hope of one day that God would pour out His Spirit in all the earth. Now we know one day in that millennial kingdom, amen, we come back with the Lord, He is going to do that, amen. Huh? Hey, you think all your neighbors will know the Lord, praise God. Hey, man, we're going to go back to better than Mayberry. Everybody's going to unlock their doors in that day, amen. Praise God, huh? But think about it. They're hoping that one day He's going to come. So in Jesus, picture that direct call. If any man thirst. But then there's a desires condition. Thirst. The word thirst means to have a wanting for, a longing for, to be thirsty. And then there's a directional change. He said, let him come. If any man thirst, let him come. And always that directional change, but that is personal. The word him, that shows individual. So everybody in the midst of the crowd, you've got a choice to make. When you realize that deep thirst in your life that nothing's satisfied, you've tried this, you've tried that, and you've tried religion, you've tried church, but nothing has satisfied. And that's where Jesus is saying, now picture, I'll get ready to wind this up. They're excited, they're having this celebration, but now when Jesus stood up here, it's all over with. It's all over with. So that means, man, the fall festival's done.
back to the plant, back to the farm, back to the job, you know. It's all over. The excitement is all over. Now we got to wait a whole year to enjoy this again. And maybe someday Messiah will come. But that's what's happening here. Jesus stood up. Now you know when a rabbi taught in the temple, he always sat down when he taught. There's sometimes I've been a preacher, I thought that'd been good right now. You get tired, you know. But the rabbi would sit down when he taught. But Jesus, he stood up. That was a picture of authority. He stood in the midst of that crowd and he said, and I can picture him looking around. And there's some of them saddened because they're loading up and got to go back. And they had a temporary time of joy and excitement. But Jesus said, wait a minute. If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Amen. Out of his, that word drink is a picture of faith. Think about it like this. If any man desire me, let him come and put faith in me. He said, I am the Messiah. He said, the joy don't have to stop here. The peace don't stop here at Calvary Baptist when you leave at 12 o'clock. Amen. The joy don't stop. The excitement don't stop. Hey, the life that you have is His life. Jesus was saying, I'm the Lord. I'm the Messiah. I'm the life. You can have me is what He's saying. He's saying, you can take me home. Amen. Hey, I can dwell in the land. Praise God. But you know what? They didn't want Him. But I'm glad this morning I want Him. Amen. I thought that word drink, it means to receive into the soul. It means refreshing. It means strength. A lot of times, you know what? All we got is what we got. And if all you ever do is what you can do for God, you'll never do much for God. But we realize, God, I can't do nothing. Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. But if we'll thirst for Him, if we'll desire Him, if we'll want Him more than anything this morning, let Him come in, out of His belly shall flow rivers of the bellies. That's that. It's a picture of that inward part of man, the real you. God rolling and reigning in our heart. And if you look and study those verses, we see the picture of the Savior there. We see the Scriptures there, and we see the Spirit in these verses. But you know what we don't see in the verses? We get self out of the way. We got self out of the way. If you'll study them verses, just have any man thirst. Get your eyes off of self, amen. Here I am, come. What Jesus said, come, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they should be as white as snow. Come, come unto me, all that labor heavy laden, and I'll give you rest, amen. Psalms 112, verse 1, he said, praise ye the Lord, blesses the man that feareth God, that delighteth continually in His word, amen. Hunger and thirsting for the Word of God. Amen. Hunger and thirsting for God. Where are you at this morning? Are you thirsty for Him? Are you thirsty? I don't know how maybe Pastor want to give invitation or piano. The pianist want to come. Pastor. Thirsty for God. Amen. There's a guy in the prison just the other